This digital recording comes from the New Energy Times Archive.
Well, good morning, and it's a great privilege and honor to be able to talk about Giuliana's life and work. Anyone who's come to one of these meetings in the past has certainly met him and couldn't forget the experience. He was always the life of the meeting, the center focus of much of the discussion. His book on QED, one like the dynamics, has been a gem not only to science in general, but to cold fusion in specific. And I followed this book off and on, sadly, after learning of his death. Some years ago, I pulled it out and stared at the cover and looked at the dedication page where he credited his father with teaching him the meaning of honor and honesty. His father must have been proud, since Giuliana certainly exhibited these virtues and learned that lesson well. We all lost a great leader and friend in the community when he passed on. He was born in Padova, Italy, and received his PhD. He spent some time at American universities, came back where he was chair of high energy nuclear physics at Milan. In the early days of cold fusion, he came to the cold fusion in Salt Lake City, where his experience certainly got him excited about the field and led to his interactions and contributions in our community. His history you can glance at here. And I would note that he's made many contributions in physics, much stemming from his views on quantum electrodynamics, over 400 journal papers, and contributions ranging from lasers to the theory of liquids and solids on the cold fusion. I talked to a number of people to gather information for this talk, and one of the great contributions I received is this poem, which was dedicated to him, titled Father Kleinman. You're old, Father Kleinman, Preparata declared, and your hair has turned visibly gray, and yet you keep tossing ideas around at your age of this graceful display. In my youth, said the master, as he shook his long locks, I took a great fancy to sketching, drew many diagrams, which most thought profound, while others thought merely fetching. Yes, I know, said the youth, interrupting the sage, that you once were so awfully clever. But now is the time, pork, sausage, and corn, you think you can last on forever. Your words, my young fellow, from the report, as his face turned perceptibly red. In your words, I detect an impatience, I'm sure, which makes me decidedly mad. You're old, spoke the youth in his accented speech. While eyeing the throne of the master, let me help you relinquish your scepter next day, or would you prefer to do it faster? No thanks, Giuliana, the sage said, rebuff. None of your own brand of sass. You think I could listen all day to such talk? Be off. Some insights to this QED. He envisioned that the explanation for the formation of solids could be developed from a theory of coherence. He between the solid state and surrounding radiation fields. And I won't go into details. This is listed in this little write-up, which I show here. But this view of the coherent state, or the coherence domain, allowed him to seek alternate explanations for a variety of key questions in physics. Condensed matter, the transition from gas to liquid to solid. And he made great progress in all this, and that progress extended to cold fusion when he became excited about, as already said, when he went to Utah to the National Institute there in the early days. Later, that was, they came out in his famous book, QED, Coherence in Matter. I put this picture of the book cover here because I think this cover depicts his love of life, sense of science. Inside is a review of his career, which we've already discussed, and also he talks about this network of coherence between particles and radiation and matter. And if you go to chapter 8 in the book, you find how he applies that to the three miracles of cold fusion, which we all have been wrestling with, namely, how do you overcome the Coulombic barrier, how do you get the reaction rates which have been recorded, and how do you get the unique products which are not the normal fusion products. And if you read that chapter, he addresses all those issues through this new QED theory, and he concludes that he feels he's answered them all. Now, many of us are still wrestling with that, trying to understand his answers, but I think we all should keep trying. Some photo memories I collected. Here he is, with and without glasses, in the laboratory. I think that's a great photograph. You can see him concentrating on that experiment. I talked to Martin Flashman just the other day, and Martin described him as the smartest person he ever knew. However, it turned out to be his own worst enemy. He was viewed as replacing Swinger as the leader in cold fusion theory. But despite his brilliance, sometimes his personality prevented a wide discipleship, as was reflected, I think, in that earlier point. He read widely and could delve into an amazing range of topics. I think those of you who know Martin, anyone who can keep up with him must be able to do that type of thing. My own personal memories, I think, started in one of the early ICF meetings where recorded measuring X-ray patterns during an experiment in the lab. And I went up to him after that and made some statement that I really didn't understand that. I thought something else might have happened. In which he immediately interrupted me, saying, "You haven't read chapter 8 of my book. Read it before we continue this discussion," and walked off. Well, that took me back, but also made me read chapter 8. At another of the meetings, I distinctly remember when we were all listening to some theory papers, and Giuliana said, "The Italian delegation is leaving. We will not listen to any of this nonsense any longer." And he got left by himself, but he left. In 2000, shortly before his death, I was on the program committee for IC CFA, we met in the Frascati, and I was assigned to review the theory papers along with Giuliani, who came in, and his first statement was, reject all those papers, they're nonsense. Well, I realized we had a problem. I could have a meeting without any theory papers. So I and several others used all of our persuasive arguments to try to keep papers. I think I didn't realize how ill he was at the time. I think had he been not at that time, just going 2 months before his death, he would have been much harder to persuade. But we did get some through. In all that discussion, he said to me that since I had been an editor of several journals, and I should realize that all Americans were arrogant, trying to control all physics publications, that he was mad because one of his papers had been turned down by a juror. Well, I said I had nothing to do with that. Join the club. I had some turned down too. Quotes from colleagues. I gathered some of these in sort of a haphazard fashion, but one thing that this is very interesting. The first one, one sentence that used to explain wrong interactions with other physicists is, he said, I love physics like a woman, like her lover. While I know that I'm not the only one entitled to love her, and I'm not jealous in a conventional way, still, to see her abused drives me crazy. Another comment. There's nothing wrong, more wrongful than setting things on the same level that they are very different instead. And that was to explain his very strong sense of honor and honesty. He wasn't an easy man, but this is another quote, but the opportunity to know him and work closely with him really changed my way of thinking about science and the duties of science. He was really a wonderful researcher for me. I think meant teacher. I mean, yeah, teacher. Another quote. First name at Utah. He was thinking beyond the speed of light. I could not follow his reasoning. But in my impression, he was very excellent, very serious physicist, and one very nice guy. Another quote was what happened at ICCF 8. There was an interaction with him and someone asked why at the meeting. Both had a microphone. When he preparata didn't need a microphone. And finally he yelled into the microphone, and the gain was pretty high. Anyway, it sounded all like the voice of God. Many of the other interactions involved preparata forcibly explaining to me, this person quoting, that his theory was right and mine was wrong. Continue on that line, though. One person pointed out that he's now considered to gain considerable admiration for what Giuliani had suggested back in QED theory for cold fusion. And he says, I only wish I could talk to him now, well after the fact, extend to him my heartfelt apologies for not recognizing the significance of what he suggested and for not expressing my admiration for his intuitive genius. I suspect others felt that way too. One episode that captures this took place after the ICCF meeting in Japan. This person went for a walk, ran into him. They were very cordial at first, but soon all of that ended when an argument developed, and apparently it was quite intense, and one that still remembered this person, but The regret is I cannot tell Juliana now how nicely what I'm proposing fits the model he originally suggested. He was an idealist. I'm missing really. So in closing, I think all this reflects his life. He was difficult to get along with. He was loud and demanding. But this was from his love of physics. The community lost the leading light in that day. We're all missing his brilliance and his energy. But his insight lives on, and will live on at this meeting. And here's some of the papers. I'd like to acknowledge people who contributed thoughts to this listed here. Thank you.